Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
Well, good morning, church. Doing well? Great to see you. I was away for 3 weeks. First, we went to see family out east, Mission's family in the region of Ottawa. And Mission has a cousin many years ago decided to build a villa in Costa Rica. And then we heard through the branches that for family it was free. So we said, hey, as a good man and I would do. So they I said, let's see if it's possible. So we just came back from Costa Rica for 2 weeks. Gotta say that it was great to go and awesome to come back. Like, I like heat, but that was like extreme heat. It was unreal. In the shade, it was plus 100. it was crazy hot. So sometimes you go in the south and then you realize, wow, Canada is a great nation, right? So I said, I was looking forward to feel a little cold. That's kind of weird. Awesome. Invite you to stand. We'll go to God's word. Father, we thank you so much for your affection, for your love for us, and your attention for each person here. You have your eyes on each person here, and you have a desire to bless, to speak, to touch and move, Father. I just pray that we would be open to what you want to do beyond this sermon, Father. We pray that our hearts would be open to your talk, to your voice, to your move, and I just pray that you would have your way as I share what you've placed on my heart. I pray that our hearts would be open to receive what you want to say. May you go beyond my words, and may my heart be fertile ground to receive your seed. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we've been talking on freedom, and I was looking forward for this series. I missed the three firsts when it comes to this topic, but I really believe that freedom is a hot topic, and I believe it's really needed in our lives. And Jesus came for our freedom, and this is so important for us to remember that. Tell your neighbor that Jesus came for our freedom. In John chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed." If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And when it comes to the spiritual freedom, we understand that the reason why Jesus came was to reconcile us to Father, because there was a wedge called sin. And because of the holiness of God, we have this gap and we can't know God because of our sinful nature and because of our present state. And then we see Jesus coming and laying his life down and taking on himself our sins, right? And because of that, when we personalize that, when we say yes to that, there is freedom that happens in our lives where we have peace with God, and it brings peace with other people, and there's a sense of joy. It's hard to understand, right? When you open your life to God and God comes in, it's hard to say really how we feel, but we just have this sense of God in our lives, right? And it's an amazing feeling. It's an amazing reality. At the same time, when it comes to freedom, one of the things that I remember being taught many years ago when I was a youngster, and the thought was, when you give your life to the Lord, then Jesus comes into your life, and your life is totally fixed, and you're fine. It's like, go and walk. And I realized that when I started to move forward, that I had heart issues. And the thing is, God wants to bring freedom in my life. When we look at Jesus, that he presents himself as a savior, he comes to save us, but he also wants to free us. Actually, savior means rescue, and he still wants to rescue me. One of the reality is that God wants to bring freedom in my soul, and when we look at the changes that happens in one's life, we see it as progressive, and we realize that God wants to bring freedom in my life. If I ask you a question, if God would all do the changes that he did in your life in the last 10 years in one day, how do you think you would be able to cope with that? We wouldn't, right? I think we would die if we would experience the changes that God did in the last decade or the last 5 years. If we experience that in one day, I don't think we could take it. And so when it comes to freedom, there is this moment in your life where you say yes to Jesus, and then you become the habitation of God, and then you're freed. But when it comes to the life, this life, one of the things that happens is that we pick up things, and at the same time, we look at our past. We carry stuff from our family tree. We get hurt by people, or we get offended by words that are being said. And sometimes we make bad decisions, and we live the consequences of that. And so what happened is that we need freedom in our hearts. When I look at the call of the believer, I really believe that the call of the believer is to be able to live in freedom. God wants you to walk in freedom. God wants you to be free. This is why Jesus came. Free you in a relationship with the Father, but also that you would walk with freedom, not walk in bondage, right? Not walk as a slave to different things, sin and hurts or broken relationships. And God wants to bring healing, and God wants to bring freedom. This is why this series is so huge, because I believe that God has a plan for you and me, and that is to walk in freedom. And not to be a slave, and not to be a prisoner of the things that are around us, or the things that, like I said, that it's self-inflicted, or things that were done to us. So we want to experience freedom. So one of the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring freedom in my life. And how does he do that? It's as I open up to him and I see the need of transformation and I say yes to what he wants to do, and his desire is to make me like Jesus, and to make me like Jesus equals being free. So there's a peeling off that happens. Amen? There's a peeling off. I don't like to be peeled. Do you like to be peeled? No. But there's a peeling off. And that's the process of sanctification, where God comes into my life and he wants to remove the layers that are not fruitful. And we could talk about John 15, where Jesus comes and prunes the tree. But there's a desire of God to bring freedom in my life so I can run, like it says in Hebrews chapter 12, without being tied down or chained down. Amen? So we want to experience that freedom, and we want to walk in the freedom that God has for us. Maturity, what is maturity? Maturity doesn't come with age. You might be mature in age, but maturity doesn't come with age. No, it comes with surrender. How do you become mature is when you surrender, when you see your desire change, and when you are teachable. And this is where you become godly. This is where godliness is found. So what we want to see in our lives is we want to see growth and maturity, but it only happens through surrender when we ask God to move into our lives. And I look at the events that we face and the things that comes our way. And one of the things we want to learn is we want to see how we react to different things, right? Like when I was in Central America, I did all the driving, and wow, they don't drive like us. Stop signs are optional. If you want to stop, you stop. If you don't want to, like whatever, right? And so, you know, this aggression that you cut me off, and I remember at one point I was like, rah, behind the steering wheel. So when you see this, then you realize that maybe there's something inside, right? You know, there was five tolls, but it finished with one lane. And so there's, like, I think there were seven tolls. So people are seven roads that comes to one road. So, man, everybody was going to that lane, right? It was like, wah! And I remember being myself, the same way. I said, chill, chill, chill. My wife is there to help me to chill, 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 right? But the thing is, when it comes to circumstances in our lives, how we react to them really shows what's inside. And so we want to be open to that. And what we want is to be open to the leading of the Spirit. Say, God, what are you up to in my life? What do you want to change? Look at where you are today. Look at the situations that are around you or the things you're dealing with. What is God up to? What is he wanting to change? What is he wanting to do in your life? So it's important for us to realize that Jesus came for my freedom, And at the same time, freedom is progressive. There's a verse that we find in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. It says, freely you have received, freely give. And God wants us to receive freely. He wants us to be blessed by the benefit of the cross and the resurrection. And that we want to walk according to the promises, like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that his promises are yes and amen. So one of the things that I'd like to address this morning when it comes to freedom is that I believe that God is calling us to give freely and to embrace generosity. One of the values that we have in GMC, it's generosity. How can we be more generous? It says in Acts chapter 20 that there's more joy in giving than receiving. And the word joy talks about richer, blesser, satisfied. It's like having a meal. You ate well, you're satisfied. So when you embrace generosity and you are a giver and not just a taker, and you invest in people, invest in God's kingdom, and your heart is not bound by the fear or the fear of lack and the fear of giving, what happens is that you bless other people and people are blessed, but there's a satisfaction inside of you. Have you ever experienced that? You obey, you do what God wants you to do, and then, man, like it's like you feel like it's like when Jesus talks to this lady, the Samaritan lady at the well in John chapter 4, where and the disciples come back with a lunch because it was time to eat, and Jesus said, well, I have another food that satisfies me. To do the will of the Father satisfies me. There's an inner satisfaction. There's something that it quenches or it meets purpose in our lives when we are generous and when we are vessels for God to bring blessings to other people. So I believe it's a big deal. Generosity is a big deal, and it's not always easy, right? When we look at a kid, when he starts to talk or she talks, she starts to talk, one of the first words they learn is mine, mine. Right? Ain't gonna teach your kid or your grandkids to be generous. I say grandkid now, but before I wasn't able to do it, but now I can, right? You have to teach them to share. Like by nature, we're self-focused and self-centered. Look at our world. You just gotta look around and you see that people are living for themselves. And so generosity is to be learned. Generosity is something that we learn. I think some of us are more inclined to be generous than others, but I really believe that generosity is something that is called to be learned. It's something that you do out of faith and out of obedience. You look at the entire narrative of the Bible, it's generosity. When you look at the Bible from one cover to the other, it's generosity. We find the generosity of God. You look at John chapter 3, verse 16. We all know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? Love equals giving. Love equals being generous. If you love, you'll have to be generous. So it's important for us to experience that freedom in our lives to give. Like I said, it's not always easy to give because we have bills to pay and there's million things that happens, right? You haven't planned your dishwasher that crashes, and there's so many different things. There's a million things that will prevent you of being generous. And generous is not linked to how much money you have in your bank account. Generosity is linked to your heart condition. It really is. Because you got some people that are plenty full of money, and they're not generous because they're afraid of not having enough. And so it's not about how much money you have, it's a heart condition. And so what I really want to express to you this morning is that I believe that God wants us to experience freedom in the level of generosity. And it's for us to say, God, change my heart. Help me to be generous. Help me not to be tied down. You think about 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there's only one God and mediator between man and God, and the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. Romans 8:32, since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? It talks here about trusting Father, but we see that he gave his son, right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So when we look at the narrative of the Bible, it's generosity, right? That's the narrative of the Bible. So it should soak in my heart that I'm not called to close my eyes. I'm not called to close my heart. I'm not called to do life from A to B and pay my bills and not having a heart that looks around and see the needs and trusting that God will provide when God shows you a need. And we see this over and over. I'll talk more about that next week. But it's important for us to see that generosity is called to be embraced, and we're called to return that generosity to God like he has shown generosity to us. You look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, where someone asked Jesus about what is the greatest commandment, and Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so here you see the call that we have to love. And you cannot love without giving. And we see that proof in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, where it says, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So we see here, live a life of love and to do like Christ that lived a life of love. And how did he show his love? He gave himself up. You see? So when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to be a believer, it's for us to walk in the freedom of generosity. And when you think about today, when you're going to leave this place, or you're going to go to work, or you're going to be with your kids during the week, whatever, where you are, you want to have a heart that is generous. Okay? Like sometimes we think that the world owes us, right? And we take and take and take, and sometimes we find all kind of reasons to be takers. Okay, for sure, absolutely, we got to take care of business. We do have bills to pay, and we have to be a good testimony. But beyond that, parallel to that, it's important for us to be generous at heart and quick to help and quick to respond to the needs that are before us. I think that's is our identity, not our identity, but who we are as followers of Jesus, right? So living with life of purpose is linked to generosity, time and resources. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And I think it's so true because there's purpose in giving, right? And so we want to grow in that aspect of generosity. And what I wanted to talk about this morning, how can I grow in generosity? How can I grow in generosity? There's four things I want to say. The first one is, when I experience God's love, it causes me to grow in generosity. And there's a story in Luke chapter 7, a beautiful story of a lady that went to this Pharisee's house because Jesus was there. And this Pharisee asked Jesus to come into his house, and then this lady comes in, this sinful lady comes in, and this Pharisee is questioning Jesus' motive by saying if he would be a prophet, he would know that the lady that is touching his feet is a sinful lady, and he judged Jesus according to what Jesus is letting happen in that time. And so Jesus responds to him in verse 36, and I want to read this text because I really believe here we see the heart of generosity. It says, and Jesus told him the story to the Pharisee. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to the other. But neither of them could pay him back, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. And he asked, who do you suppose loved him more after that? Well, Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. And Jesus says, that's right, Jesus answered. Verse 44, then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she had never stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to this woman, your sins are forgiven. What we find here is the reason of why we are generous. It's because we're so loved. And when it comes to this lady that took her perfume and went at Jesus' feet and poured perfume on Jesus' feet and washed the feet of Jesus with her perfume and with her tears and wiped the feet of Jesus, it wasn't said to her, do this. It was not a law. It was not pressured. It was just organic. Just because Jesus was so amazing. Jesus forgave her sins and she came in. And you see the Pharisee here that had Jesus. It's the same Jesus, but two different ways of seeing Jesus. And we see this lady that gives the best to Jesus and she's caught up with Jesus. And that's what you call generosity. Beautiful, right? So we can think about giving as, and sometimes we've been in churches where it's forced, do. But the reality is generosity is based on understanding the love that God has for us. And it becomes organic for us to show generosity because so much generosity was shown to us. Amen? It's pretty hard to close your heart to generosity when you start to think about what Jesus did for us, right? And so we don't want to do life closing our hearts, shutting our eyes, or pretending we're not hearing. We want to be generous because of what Jesus did for us. And so it's to embrace generosity and to realize that God is a God of open hands. And I'm called to have open hands. And the reason why I open my hands is because he has open hands. So how can I give? How can I be generous when I understand how God is generous towards me? The second reason why I can be generous, it's to understand that I'm a steward and not an owner. And that's a big deal. Jesus addresses that in the gospel, right? That you, he addresses the story of the talents. One received 5 talents, the other 2, and one that had one, you know the story, buried it, and the others invested it. And because it was not their money, it was the master's money. And I believe that my time, my resources, my talent, whatever is linked to me doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And the reality is that you when you look at aging, and when you look at the reality of death, well, you can't bring nothing in the afterlife, right? It only stops here. And so it's important for us to realize that we are just stewards. And so we want to understand that, and we want to live in that way. You look at Job chapter 41, verse 11. Everything under heaven belongs to me, says the Lord. Everything belongs to me, says the Lord. Paul, quoting Psalm 24, verse 1, says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26, it belongs to God. Agai chapter 2, verse 8 says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. So remember that whatever we have, it's not ours, it belongs to him. Even our giftings and our abilities and the way that we made money and the way that we had success. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 says, you may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Then you say, well, then it's mine. It's like to say, God, I'm going to give you 10% and the 90% is mine. I've got to say that with a grin, but the reality is everything belongs to God. Everything that we have was given by him. So it's to live with this knowledge that everything belongs to him. And he says in verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So we get caught in the Western world, right? And we get caught by this thought that if I made the money, then it's mine. Or if I have success in my ministry, it's mine. No, it's not. It belongs to God. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as you did not why do you boast as if you did not receive it? And meaning that whatever you have, it's been given by the Lord. So it's important for us to realize that generosity will happen in our hearts when we realize that we're just called to manage, it's not mine. But if it's yours, then yeah, you keep it, you are in control of it. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, we're not in control, He is in control. The third reason why we can give is when we understand sonship and daughtership. How I see God and how I see myself will influence how I'm generous. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, it says, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father, look at this, what it says, so beautiful. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So your heavenly Father knows that you have needs. So trust in Him. And he says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, meaning that you focus on what I want you to do, and I will take care of you. But what's hard, it's to trust God that He will take care of me, right? It is. It's not an easy thing to say, God, I trust you with generosity. I'll be generous. I'll respond to your call. But what if I don't have enough, right? And for sure, you got to be wise. You got to pay your bills and all this. But I have to come to the point where I believe that God will take care of me. What I'm going to say right now, it's probably one of the biggest phrases when it comes to how we're called to live our life. I need to believe that God will care for me. Can you tell your neighbor and say, God will care for you? God will care for you. He will, you know? And that's what he's saying. I take care of the birds of the fields. And the pagans, they're always living in anxiety of this and that. And Father, and Jesus is saying, Father will take care of you. Be generous. Love on people. Focus on others. Don't be just caught up with you, your situation. Bless. Be a blessing to others. And that's the heart, you know? That's the heart we're called to have. And when I see this, I'm saying, God, bring freedom in my heart, right? Generosity is a transaction that you do with God. And Proverbs 11, verse 25 says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Pretty awesome, right? You refresh others, God will refresh you. It's like your generosity, it's not unnoticed by God. It's noticed by God, you know? So I don't want to be caught with the fear of lack. Like I said a while ago, if you think that if you have enough money in the bank, that you won't have the fear of not having enough, it's probably not going to happen. Because you'll be to another level, and there's going to be other things that will take your time, that can create anxiety. And so it's not what you have that causes you peace. It really does. It doesn't. And so I don't want to be controlled by the fear of lack or the fear of not having enough, where it causes me to fend for myself and forget others and forget God's kingdom. You know, if I'm controlled by the fear of lack, I will fend for myself all the time. So when I fend for myself, I don't look up at what's before me. I don't look up at God's kingdom, and I don't look up at the needs that are around me. So I need to come to a place of trust that I'm His son and His daughter, and He has a plan for me. I like what it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. And for the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And so here it says, trust me, my daughter. Trust me, my son. Have this mindset that I will take care of you, because He will. last point this morning when it comes to how do I freely give is when I realize that this is not home. I think that's huge, right? When I realize it's not home. James 4 verse 14 says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring and what is your life. And for you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And life on earth is a season. When I was on holidays, I read this book called The Four Quarters of Life. And what it does, it breaks life into four quarters like a football game. And it focuses on the last quarter for those that are 60 to 80, and those that are 80 plus, the author called it bonus, bonus time. I thought it was funny, but like the 60 and the 60 to 80, and some of you you're not there, but the thought of how do you live in that zone, because we live in a society today that doesn't talk about death. Like, it seems like death doesn't exist. And we do life, and unless death hits us, then we are awakened to it. But when life is good, you don't think about death. And if you would live in other countries and in countries that are poorer, they deal with death all the time. And so we live life like we're never going to die. And that book made me being conscious that I'm going to die. It's inevitable, right? Thank you. That way, not my way, but that way. It's going to happen. So am I living like it's going to happen? Really? Am I living like it's going to happen? And I'm just passing by. It's like a vapor. It's a season. So I've got to realize that life is just a season. And knowing that causes me to be generous. Because I can't bring nothing with me. And I will have to give an account for my life, right? We live in the now and we don't realize that there's more than the now, right? I like what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10 says. For God is not unjust. He will not forget your heart. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring to other believers as you still do. So God sees you. God sees what you're doing and God will honor that. Like, there's this principle of honor in the word when it comes to being faithful. Like when Jesus says, you know, welcome you and faithful, you that are faithful. He didn't say welcome you that believe, but he says welcome to the servants that served him and serve others. Heart of generosity is a big topic. I don't know where you are on this journey of life. Maybe you're here this morning and this topic of generosity is like, you have other issues to deal with. Maybe your relationship is not the greatest. Maybe you're caught by guilt because of sin. But I have to say that Jesus came for your freedom. Whatever you need today, open your heart to Jesus because Jesus came for your freedom. You see, he came for you to be free. Maybe you're here this morning and you're caught up by the fear of lack. You're full of anxiety because you think you won't have enough. Trust in Father. Trust in Father and be open to help and to love on people that are around you. Be generous. And you'll see his faithfulness. And if it's not fully here, it's going to be fully when you're going to see him face to face, when he's going to say, welcome, good and faithful servant. And so my prayer is that we would be a generous people, that I would be caught with generosity, and that you would be caught with generosity. You know, when you have a family gathering and someone has to pay, is that instead of going to the washroom and coming back when it's paid, is that you would be the first one to pay. You know? You're generous. You're generous. That you're not just a taker, but you're generous because you believe that Father will take care of you. It's a heart condition. It's not a financial decision. It's a heart condition. Amen? I would ask you to stand. Father, I thank you that you've shown generosity through your word. And I look at my own life, you have shown so much generosity, it's beyond belief. And Father, I pray that we would experience freedom when it comes to generosity, that we would not be individuals or a people that is bound by the fear of lack, but that we would be a people, individuals, families that are generous, that are not afraid to reach out, not afraid to give. Father, I just pray for this truth just to take root into my heart, into our hearts, that you are a generous God that wants to reproduce yourself, himself, through us, Lord. And maybe you're here this morning, and like I said, generosity is not before your eyes, but you have other issues. I just invite you to surrender your life to Jesus right now and say, God, I give you this. I give you this situation. I give you this relationship. I give you this struggle that I face, this guilt that is eating me inside. I confess my sin. I'm letting go. I want you to be in the middle of this, Lord. I want you. I want you to rescue me. You came to set me free. I just pray that you would experience that freedom this morning. And we invite you to go to the prayer room after. Let's say you've walked away from the faith or you haven't committed your life to Jesus. I invite you to do that because Jesus came for your freedom. I invite you to go to the prayer room. Just do it. Just go for it. Let someone pray with you. Do the extra step of having someone agree with you for God to move in your life and bring freedom. And if you're here this morning, you're caught up with the fear of lack. You aren't able to be generous because you're always afraid of not having enough. I just pray that you say, God, help me to trust you. Help me to trust you, Father. And break me free so I can be generous. So, Father, I give you glory and honor, and I pray that we would reflect you and we would walk a walk that represents you with generosity, I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.